Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017. Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Right now, I am old solo mio. My brother Chance is going to be joining us a little bit later. So just stay tuned for that. And, you know, we're just going to go from there. So anyways, village, like I said, I'm here by myself. And so, you know, I'm not really going to get into the deep, deep topics right now. I'm not going to do a what the Trump or anything like that. I'm going to discuss a few things that we are working on and things like that. First of all, we are working on correcting the website for Welcome to the Village. That's welcometothevillage.com. We're also working on new shirt ideas, business things, and stuff like that. So just stay tuned for stuff like that, and we'll go from there. But enough of that. There are some topics that I would like to discuss by myself because I don't have my brother Chance in the village quite yet, and that's okay. First topic is, you know, I'm actually trying to get this thing to not play the volume on, but however, comma, it doesn't allow you to mute the volume, so I just won't even play that. I'll just scroll down to the article here. And in this topic here, folks, let's talk about revenge porn. It's actually back in the news. Found an interesting article on CNN, and yeah, you know, let's discuss it a little bit here. All right, so what I want to do is let's go ahead and do some share screen option here. Screen share, application window, boom. It's much easier with this computer here. We're gonna focus the screen on this one a little bit there. All right, so you guys see the article. There was a young lady by the name of Leah Juliet. When she was 15, her nude photos were leaked online, and that was in 2012. And back then, you know, they didn't really have a name for it. It just, you know, your pictures got passed around. It was a big deal, but they didn't have a term for it and things of that nature. And so, of course, you know, everyone sees the photos and things of that nature. Well, now she's 20 years old, and she is literally leading the fight for these young ladies, possibly even young men that are victims of what we call revenge porn. This is already passed, but on April 1st, apparently there was a march against revenge porn. Now, some may say that this is a joke. This is not a bigger deal. She's making it big. But however, comma, what if you were the victim of something like this? That's something you have to think about. Like, you have to really sit back and say, okay, well, what about those that are actually affected by something like this? Now, again, we can make all the jokes in the world. We can say, oh, she shouldn't have been taking them, this, that, and the other. You can make 1,000 arguments. I get it. However, comma, Nobody should share somebody else's nude photos without having permission. I don't care if you sent them to 1,000 guys. Those 1,000 guys better keep it to themselves. It's just what it is. So, you know, I do understand where she's coming from. And no, she didn't send it to 1,000 guys, obviously. But what she did do, she apparently, she was 14, 15 years old. Her photos were spread. And let's scroll back up here. So let's read a little bit of this article here. A few months later, a high school lab partner took out his phone and showed Juliet the same nude photo she'd sent. So she had obviously sent this photo to one person in particular. She was interested in him and sent him 4 nude photos of herself. Now, this goes a little bit deeper. This goes back to parenting, education, teaching, that whole thing. When this young lady at 14 years old decided to send a nude photo of herself, you know, I can't really say where were her parents at, but in a sense, we can say where were her parents at, because this is not something that you just send to somebody. You know what I mean? At 14, 15, you're not mature enough to handle a photo like that. You're not mature enough to even be taking photos like that, in my opinion. But it does happen. But someone, it's not say me in particular, but society as a whole, I think, should definitely teach these young people that, you know, at 14, 15, number one, you don't really know yourself and you don't really know your body like that. And sending naked photos to whomever is probably not the best idea. Now, if you're in a committed relationship or you're married and you're things of that nature, then yeah, you want to share some risque photos with your partner, then so be it. That's your business. That's your prerogative. But 14, 15 year old boys, of course, are going to share it. It's what they do. Even if they don't share it, they're going to at least show it to everybody. You know what I mean? And that's just what it is. They're going to it at the minimum. They're going to show all their friends and say, oh, don't tell her that I showed you this and things of that nature. So just remember that going forward. Like, you don't always have to have it necessarily being shared, but it can be shown off. And that's something that I would definitely love for young people to understand. It's not about the share. Sometimes it's just showing it to everyone and they mama, basically. So just keep that in mind. So like I was saying, she was in high school and a high school lab partner took out his phone and showed Juliet the same nude photos that she had sent. Apparently everybody on the football team had seen it. They have them of a bunch of girls. I don't know what that means exactly. And now that she's a sophomore in college, she still feels violated, and rightfully so. You know, like, here it is again. Ask permission. You know, if you want to share a photo or something like that, ask permission. You'd be amazed at how many young ladies will probably be like, hey, yeah, whatever. It's okay. Not too many are going to say that, obviously, because if they send it to you, they send it to you for a valid reason. Like, they respect you, they trust you, they probably love you. So just keep that in mind, fellas, okay? So anyways, at the end of the day, yeah, definitely do not condone in this type of, do not participate in this type of behavior. Because like I said, 14, 15-year-old young men don't understand the ramifications. I really don't think they understand. I think they're just stupid boys that do stupid things because they have a naked picture of a girl. There it is. If you have a naked picture of a young lady, you don't go around showing it off. You just don't. It's just what it is. You never do that. And that's something that even I live by. You know, you don't think Lady J and I haven't exchanged a few pictures? Come on. This is what it is. So anyways, Village, let's move on here. I'm going to go ahead and close that window out. Focus it back on me. Next topic here. And Phone is vibrating. I'm waiting on Chance to send me that text message to say he's ready to go. Yeah. So let's talk about this one here. And I'm trying to save a few of these for Chance because I know for a fact he was really wanting to discuss quite a few of these here. So I'm really trying to hold back on some of these here. All right, so let's go ahead and address this one here. This is something that I got off of Bleacher Report. Let me go ahead and just show you guys the article here. Scroll down a little bit.
What makes a win?
Sorry about that, Village. You know, you got ads on every little thing nowadays. Everybody wants to get their 2 cents in. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and head over to screen share option one more time, please. And we're gonna come over here. All right, so Troy Vincent says NFL is developing video to show players proper celebrations. Okay, to me that's just downright funny. I do get it though, because there have been some really outlandish celebrations that I've seen last season. And so I get where people are coming with this. You know, I'm looking at this picture here, and let's go ahead and focus it real quick here for a second. We're looking at Brown over here. Basically, he's twerking in the end zone. You know, it is what it is. One of my favorite players, you know, I normally try to pick him up weekly in my DFS leagues on DraftKings and stuff like that. But I do understand where the NFL is coming from, because to me, this does kind of send a bad message down the pipe. You know, like NFL players are celebrating, college guys are celebrating, and then that filters to high school and Pop Warner football and things of that nature. So essentially, it starts at the top, and that's why I do understand why the NFL is literally saying, hey, let's talk about this. Let's figure out what's proper and what's not, what's improper. Now, for me personally, you know, spiking the football is always the go-to thing. You want to spike the ball, or you know, you want to run over and celebrate with your teammates. That's one thing. But the individual, you know, twerking and things of that nature, I mean, it's funny, it's cute, but like I said, I do understand where the NFL is coming from. You know, essentially, it's kind of like drawing attention to yourself. Now, football being a team sport, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to draw attention to yourself, because at the end of the day, you didn't throw the ball to yourself. You didn't block for yourself. You didn't do all these things by yourself. It's a team effort. So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, it's team. You should celebrate with the team. Now, if you all come together and you guys are hugging it out and things of that nature, hey, cool. I'm with that. But, you know, the twerking and all that stuff, like I said, I see where the NFL is trying to get people to get players to gravitate away from that. Now, the fact that they're developing an educational video, that to me is a little bit too far. Just say, hey, this type of behavior or celebrations, not acceptable. I don't think you need a video per se. I think each team needs to really sit down and say, hey, this is what is acceptable and this is what is not acceptable. So yeah, I want to play one of these videos. I guess this one was considered inappropriate. Let's see if it plays here. Let's see here. New doesn't play. Not a big deal. But there were numerous celebrations this season that definitely were, like I said, outlandish and crazy and things of that nature, right? So, again, Village, NFL, I get it. I get the fact that you guys don't want this. However, there are people in the NFL. I'm going to kind of go on the player side for a second here. There are players in the NFL that have had a long, hard road. And now that they've made it, they're like, look, I'm going to show my ass out a little bit. And I can't even get mad about that. So it's double-edged sword here, right? We've had so many people that are literally like, look, you don't know what I had to do to get here. I'm going to celebrate this. I'm going to celebrate with my team, celebrating by myself. I'm going to celebrate. And like I said, you can't be too upset or mad about that. That's just what it is, right? So again, keep it in perspective. But just remember, everyone comes from a different walk of life. Everyone didn't come from that silver spoon in their mouth as far as football and having the great people to back them up. There were some guys that had to wear cleats that didn't make no doggone sense. They didn't know what they were trying to do. They were just like, look, we just need to make it. I'm going to go ahead and invite Chance on screen here. Get Chance on board. And so even with that, you know, we're looking at, like I said, we were looking at these different football players. What's up, Chance? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm all right. All right. I'm on borrowed time, though, it looks like this morning.
Okay, no problem. No problem. So with that, Village, we're going to go ahead and close this here out. I was just briefly discussing. I'm going to go ahead and mute that. Do I got to mute it? No, he's good. Okay. So I was just quickly discussing the NFL is actually trying to produce videos on how players should celebrate. So I was just talking about that real quick. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So
this is the beginning of the demise of the NFL, basically.
Think so?
Yes.
All right. Well, give me your quick thoughts, man.
This whole thing about celebrating and then disparities between what some players can do versus what other players can do. The antics of one player, you know, you can go on the, you can miss 24 games, 6 playoff games, have 3 back surgeries, and then go jump in the wrestling ring. And hit parades, you know, ripping beer cans up, open with your teeth and whatnot. And you can do all this other stuff, but a dude that's got, had the season of a lifetime on a team that's nearly undefeated, you know, he gets talked bad about because he celebrates too much. The NFL missed the mark. Those big end zone celebrations kind of made the game, made the sport fun, made it human. You know, trying to sterilize it now, so you don't ruffle anybody's feathers and people don't get the other teams don't get so sensitive and get their feelings hurt. You know, you bunch of big burly guys trying to snap each other's necks, and somebody's celebrating that hurts your feelings. I'm sorry.
You know. I'm going to say the opposite. I'm going to say the opposite. And I kind of came from a double-edged sword here, and I'll just kind of briefly say what I said. I get why the NFL wants to do it because, you know, it's a team effort. Drawing attention to yourself, I get it. It's wrong, right? To me, in my opinion, I think drawing personal attention, like you blocked for yourself, you threw the ball to yourself, things of that nature, right? That's how I look at it. Mm. But in the other side of this coin, very other side, you have to look at some of these dudes have come from walks of life that is just screwed up, right? They like, man, I made it. Let me celebrate that I made it. And so I get it. It's a double-edged sword. So you know, damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But I'm definitely not thinking the NFL needs to put out a damn video telling people how to celebrate. I don't think they need to do that.
No, I mean, look at the Redskins. Back in the day, you had the Hogs out there. You know, that whole offensive line would get out there, and they'd celebrate. Mm-hmm. It was a team effort. They'd celebrate as a team. They were the, the offensive line would be out there celebrating. That defensive line would be out there celebrating. The receiver corps would be out there celebrating. And sure, you get individuals that would do it. I mean, when it gets excessive, when it gets offensive, you don't give anybody the finger and don't. That's one thing. But when it's somebody going out there, running there, spiking the ball, doing a little dance or whatever, that's what you, I don't know, for me, that's what I expect to see in football.
Okay.
You got a bunch of adrenaline, a bunch of happy dudes that get to play a game for a living. A game that they love. They get to play for a living. Let them go out there and play. They're making you billions of dollars. Let the men go out there and play. Jeez.
Hey, I hear you. I hear you, bro. Look, I'm not going to dispute that. That's all I can tell you. I am not going to dispute that one. All right? All right, man. Since I only got you for a short time, I'm going to go ahead and let me close that one out here. Let's jump into these major topics, man. This what the Trump. All right, let's jump into that. You know what I mean? Let me go ahead and pull up some stuff here. Let's talk about the first topic on what the Trump. The airstrike on Syria. Man.
Bruh. Did I call it?
Bruh. I think I told Chanel what you had said, and she was like, damn. Like, this dude is over here. That's why I called you, I hit you with that hashtag the other day, Chanstradamus. I said, I'll be damned. I said, that dude went ahead. But here's the thing. Did we just inherit a war, or did we inherit more problems than we're ready to deal with right now? What do you think, man?
The short answer to that is yes. So this is part of Steve Bannon's plan to cause global upheaval and strife, to bring about Bannon wants to bring about this massive race war to sterilize the world of the inferior races and to purge the world of these secular countries. So it starts off with the secular countries, then it goes off into the inferior races. And that's the advisor to the president. So, listening to the UN speeches, the representative from Syria, he made some good points. We go after and go into the UN when it comes to going after fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. We don't particularly care about the Syrians. Assad has been gassing his people for years.
Yeah, for years.
When Obama tried to went to Congress to ask for permission to do airstrikes following the Constitution, Congress said no. So Trump goes in and does these strikes. I mean, Obama could have done the same thing, but he knew that it was a violation of the Constitution. He wasn't going to try to stretch it and say that the American interests were, in effect, in harm's way. Does this make Trump stronger than Obama? No. It makes Trump more reckless than Obama. And what's going to be interesting is, I'm sure this is kind of a from Mad Dog Mattis's playbook.
I woke up.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see what the players involved, how they're going to respond. I really want to see what Iran, Syria, and the Russians are going to do. Mm-hmm. Even the Chinese. You know, a strike like this could provoke actions that we couldn't predict. I suspect that we're going to see an alliance between, a military alliance between the Russians and the Chinese against the U.S. And they're going to bring about their own bloc, just like that happened before when there was, you had the NATO and then you had the Eastern Bloc.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see this reconstituting itself as NATO and the EU flounder. You're going to see a resurgence of the communist countries coming together and homogenizing into a powerful bloc. That's we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
All right, so Chance, I want to play this video clip from CNN that I found, and I specifically wanted to... Excuse me, Village. I'm sorry. A little sneeze. I'm sorry. I specifically wanted to play this clip from CNN because it's CNN, right? They actually played something to me that kind of supported Trump. You know, CNN, for the most part, does not support Trump. There it is. Let's just go ahead and say it. So what I'm going to do is, let me go ahead and screen share option, which is a amazing option, by the way. And let's go ahead and start.
Mute me.
Gotcha. Gotcha covered. All right, Village. So Chance is handling his business here. I'm kind of going to stall for a few seconds here until he gives me the thumbs up about what's going on. And I want to play a clip, and I definitely want him to hear this clip. It's from a young man in Syria that is literally saying, President Trump, thank you. You know, literally saying thank you. Really, excuse me for 1 second. I'm actually going to mute myself here for 1 second here. Okay, I'm sorry about that, folks. I'm a little bit sneezy, so forgive me. But anyways, yeah, there is a clip on CNN. Young man is literally saying, you know, Mr. Trump, thank you. President Trump, thank you. Matter of fact, send more. Send more bombs. And we know Assad has been doing this for years. The biggest one was in 2013 when people were just, I guess people were test subjects for sarin gas at this point. And that's a sad reality when a person is literally willing to nuke their own country. Not nuke, I'm sorry, that's a strong word, but willing to gas their own country in regards to getting rid of rebels and things of that nature. Not everyone is guilty in this here. You know, what I'm not going to sit here and say that even that these guys are you know, these rebels are innocent or guilty or anything else. I don't know the full story of what's going on with this country. I can't tell you that. But what we, because all we know is what media sends us, tells us, things of that nature. But to me, you know, you really have to listen to the stories of clips like this I'm going to play, simply because this young man is boots on the ground. He's right there. He's saying, hey, this is what's going on. This is where we're at. Let's go from there. So, yeah, I feel like it would be not doing myself a service or doing the Village a service to actually play this clip. You know, if I don't play it, that's a real issue for me because this young man is saying what's going on. And so with that in mind, Village, you know what? Let me go ahead and just start the clip. When Chance comes back in, hopefully it's still going. He can listen and we can go from there. So what I'm going to do is let me go ahead and slide over here real quick.
I woke up for some reason. I couldn't sleep. I woke up. I saw a lot of texts on my phone. I saw the news. I cried out of joy. I jumped. I thanked God. I don't know. I was overwhelmed. We've been asking for protection. We've been asking for consequences for more than 6 years. And today, for the first time, it happened. For the very first time, we see Assad held accountable, just for once, held accountable for his crimes against humanity. I was overwhelmed. I felt grateful for President Trump. I felt grateful for the United States. I felt grateful for each and every person who lobbied and called and kept on talking until someone actually listened.
There are people in America, and I hear you supportive of President Trump, and so many people are, Democrats and Republicans, but there are also people over here in America who are saying, all right, so clearly President Trump is motivated by just, as we all have compassion for these just horrible images of the, you know, these babies who were killed. But at the same time, this is a man who, you know, doesn't want Syrians to come into this country with this refugee ban. I want to just play some sound. Hillary Clinton weighed in.
We cannot in one breath speak of protecting Syrian babies and in the next close America's doors to them.
Quickly, Qasem, how do you see that?
With all due respect, I didn't see each and every person who was demonstrating after the travel ban. I didn't see you 3 days ago when people were gassed to death, when civilians were gassed to death. I didn't see you in 2013 when 1,400 people were gassed to death. I didn't see you raising your voice against President Obama's inaction in Syria that led us refugees, that made us refugees get kicked out of Syria. If you really care about refugees, if you really care about helping us, please help us stay in our country. We don't want to come to the United States. We want to stay in our country. We want to stay in our country. With all due respect, this is hypocrisy. If you really care, help us stay in our country. We don't want to become refugees. We want to stay in our country. Help us establish safe zones. Help us stay safe in our country. And if you just give me a few seconds just to tell President Trump once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope for a lot of people inside and outside of Syria. Please don't stop on this. Please help Syrians stay in their country. Please establish safe zones. Please take out Assad air forces so they won't be able to commit more atrocities using traditional weapons. 500,000 people were killed with traditional weapons, just so people can know what we have suffered in the past 6 years.
Now, that in itself, very powerful. That young man literally said, hey, this works for us. And I'm sure Chance will be back in a few moments and I'll get his thoughts on it. But I'll go ahead and relay my thoughts right now. You know, if this young man is coming from a solid place, Village, I kind of have to go ahead and say, you know, I support what he wants. Like if he's saying, I want to stay in my country, you know, not all of us want to come to the U.S. Not all of us want to be Americans or refugees or anything like that. Some of us want to be Syrians. We want to live in this country. We want to grow in this country and we want to raise our families in this country. You know, he has every right to say that. And I actually respect him for saying that. Too often we jump on President Trump about all the bad. And still there are many people that do not agree with what he has done. But, you know, you could also say the same for President Obama. You know, I'm not going to do is sit here and condone one and damn the other. You know, there were many things done by previous administration that were not good. There's been a lot done by this administration that is not good. So this young man is literally saying, hey, I am okay, and further encourage you, please keep sending more strikes. You know, give us more help. Help us stay in our country. So, you know, you kind of have to respect that, Village. You kind of have to look at what this man is saying and go with it. And I'm sure he's not the only one that feels like, you know, hey, can I stay in my country? Can I, you know, raise my family in this country? You know, there are so many people that feel that way. So you have to remember that when this is all going down. You know, all those people that we're trying to rescue and all this stuff like that, not everybody wants to be rescued. Some people are saying, hey, if you give us the help to fight, we'll fight. There it is. They're literally saying, we'll fight. And if you're willing to fight for your rights, your freedom, your family, your friends, I say we let them do it. Because one thing America cannot be is the savior of the world. We can't do that. We can't continue to do that. Because at the end of the day, that costs American lives as well. Now, if we keep on, like I said, if we're going to, you know, send troops and things of that nature, then we need to send specialized units over there, let them handle this. But just boots on the soil with just, you know, Lance Corporal who and Corporal this guy and this is that and the other. I'm not saying the Marines won't do it, because they will, the Marines. However, I think we need to stop sending American soldiers on to this and going from there. My brother Chance is ready to go. Chance, you good to go, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so did you get a chance to hear the clip or no?
Yeah. So I heard this clip yesterday, I think it was.
Okay. And what are your thoughts, sir?
So I think he's putting too much faith in the response of Trump. Trump didn't, you know, strike Assad because of his great care for civilians, children being killed in Syria. He did it, as I said, basically for his ego, for bravado, as also as a distraction to deflect the American people's attention away from the Gorsuch and the nuclear option that was implemented in the Senate, from his own problems with Russian investigations. The war is a major distraction for the American people. They forget about everything else and focus on war. And this will escalate, mm-hmm. Probably beyond what he's anticipating. 2013, Barack Obama went to Congress to try to provide military air support for the civilians and strike Assad. Congress said no. So it wasn't that America didn't try. Obama could have gone out and done this unilaterally. However, he didn't, because he's a constitutional scholar and he knows that would have been a violation of the Constitution. He would have been in violation of the law. And so he didn't want to go that route. He was hoping that Congress would step up and do the right thing. Didn't happen. Trump, he did this one time. It's going to be interesting to see what his follow-up responses are. If he's going to relax some of the restrictions on Syrian refugees, that would be good. That would be the most telling sign if he's actually having a change of heart. If being in that office is turning him into a human being or not, time will tell. But right now, I hope the Syrians aren't putting too much faith in Donald Trump and what to expect from Donald Trump right now, because he is not the man that some think he is. And I don't want them to be disappointed. They've gone through enough already. I enjoy this strike. Enjoy the fact that Assad has been lightly punished. But don't put too much faith in what and what America's going to do at this point. As an American, I don't put too much faith in it right now. After the elections, I think there will be a stronger response. But, you know, there's so much pain that has to go through between then and now. I couldn't even imagine living in a place like that. But, that's my thoughts on that. It's unfortunately, this is just another of Trump's distractions and misguided attempts to govern.
Yeah. No, I understand your thoughts, man, because it's two sides, man, because this young man is, for me, he's literally saying, yes, thank you. But I do see your point of view in the fact that this is all just smoke. You know, Republicans did use the nuclear option. A lot of things have happened. And this could have all just been a smokescreen. He could have used this as simply just saying, I am going to do what I want to do. And here's how I'm going to hide it. Right. So now we have the American people, because, you know, there's always people fighting over what he does at this point. The American people are fighting because he sent 60 Tomahawk missiles over there. 59 were effective. And there are also those that are going to praise him and saying, yes, great job. So now we're fighting about that. We're discussing it here. You and I don't even see eye to eye on this. I'm okay with what he did on this case. However, I don't know the Constitution the way probably you know the Constitution. So if Trump stepped over Congress to do this, then yes, we need to figure out a way to bring him up on charges. But however, if he was within the rights as a president or within the law to do it, then I say, what can we do? You know what I mean? That's the thing. I don't know the Constitution like you probably know it. So that's why I'm trying to look at this as broad as I can with my perspective. So will I sit down and have to review this further? Yes, I will. But like I said earlier, before you had to step away, there are Syrians that want to stay Syrians. They don't want to come over. They don't want to be refugees. They don't want to be American citizens. So, You know, it's a kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. There are Syrians that want to come to America. There are Syrians that want to stay in Syria. What do we do? You know what I mean? But like you said, it's all fluff. It's all, how can I deflect from the whole Russian thing? How can I deflect all this, what Bannon is doing? Because there's a lot of crap in our government right now. And this whole statement of drain the swamp, I'm always going to keep saying it. He didn't drain the swamp. He just put his own monsters in there. And it's that simple.
Yeah, so, you know, and the thing is, I don't disagree that a strike needed to happen. My point is what these GOP supporters and Trump supporters forget is when Obama asked for these strikes, they didn't have the stones to approve it. Now, Trump has done it. They don't have the stones to say, well, no, you're actually in violation of the War Powers Act. What they're really doing is they're abdicating power to the executive branch, because they're too cowardly, too spineless to say, you know what, if they do give him the power and it's the wrong call, they don't have the stones to man up to those, or to be men enough and women enough to man up to those, to own those decisions and to own the good calls along with the bad calls. If it goes wrong, hey, it's the all executive branch. It's all Trump. If it turns out to be a good call, you know, they're going to be rallying and cheering in the streets for him. But you know, what they're not willing to do is live up to their own responsibility and either say yay or nay. You can have your war or you cannot have your war. They're just allowing him to keep moving forward on these executive war power privileges and anti-terrorism provisions that happened after 9/11 that allows the president to conduct limited operations. Syria is not a limited operation.
Mm-mm.
So to continue to try to fool ourselves and fool the American people into these, I mean, these costly, bloody wars, we have a Congress that doesn't do the job. We need to put people in Congress that will do their job, not for their party, but for the American people. Syria has the potential to become the ignition point for World War III. And we as a country are not ready for a good old fashioned knockdown, drag out global war that could possibly end up on our own soil. We're not ready for that. You know, we aren't ready to have to draw defensive lines. You know, where do we draw the defensive line of defense? You know, at the 8? Anything south of the 8? We got to let it go. That becomes enemy territory. You know, anything east of the 15? I mean, or west of the 15 becomes, or east of the 15 is no man's land. Until the California border and stuff. I mean, these are real scenarios and decisions that are going to have to be made, you know, if and when someone attacks. Because at some point, you know, we've been blessed to not have to have, we fought internal wars on our soil. We haven't had to fight on our own land. Something tells me that's going to come to an end. And I'm hoping it doesn't happen soon. I'm hoping we gain and start using the intelligence that we've been endowed with to realize that there's a better way than going to war all the damn time.
And that's the thing. There has to be a better way, because going to war again is, come on. If you think about it, you know, Chance, we just got out of a war, if you think about it.
We never left. We've been at war.
Okay.
Since 91.
That's true. Okay. But I felt like President Obama took the steps to try to remove us as far as he could from war. Mm-hmm. I felt like the steps were made to get us as far away from it as possible. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Like, if we have to defend our country, fine. But jumping into another country's war, I don't think we should do that. I don't think we should be a part of that. If we're going to send some support, that's one thing, because we can send support. We can do these things. You know, it's okay, right? It's okay. It's okay to want to say, okay, if these people want to stay in their country, fine. But here for me is the other part of the issue. Why is it okay for you to say, well, we don't want them in our country? But you can, you know, but you can now send 60 bombs over there and defend the kids that you didn't want in this country, or defend the people you didn't want in this country. That part still blows me away. That's how I know politics is dirty, right? You don't want the Syrian refugees in this country, but you'll send bombs and bomb the Syrians that bombed the Syrians. All that. Let that settle in, Village. Let that marinate for a quick second. I don't know.
Because if you truly cared about the condition of the Syrians, you would do something to improve their situation. The people that have made it out, you would do something to improve their situation. But instead, you don't. You reject them. And when then something else is and it really comes down to the press. If it wasn't for all the reports and the pictures of children gasping for air, this would be just another, we condemn it in the strongest possible terms, these actions. And the Syrians and the Russians would say, well, you don't even know who did it. And then that would have been the end of it. Business as usual, like it was from 2013 to the present. But because of the change in administration and new people, we have Mad Dog Mattis now. Mad Dog Mattis is a good old fashioned, I liken Mad Dog Mattis to General Patton.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of World War II, General Patton didn't want to stop the push into Germany. He wanted to take it into Russia. He wanted to beat Russia down because he said, you know, we're going to be fighting them sooner or later anyways. So while we're strong and they're not so strong, let's just go ahead and get it over with. You know, perhaps there was some logic in that. Maybe not. Maybe we've just been delaying the inevitable. You know, the two biggest kids on the block. They're going to get into it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. They don't have to, but maybe they will. Depends on what they use up here. Or if they decide to use this instead of this. So Mad Dog Mattis, he's a very intelligent man, a great student history of, you know, he's a student of history, a student of war. War is our history. But I think the lesson in all those wars is, what did they solve? It's very few wars have actually solved problems or affected people's condition
mm-hmm.
in any meaningful, positive way. So they may have delayed revolutions and other issues for a generation or two, but it'll still happen.
Yeah, and we're seeing it now, obviously.
Yeah, so we're seeing that now. So I think it's pretty much you know, because he's not going to back down. I think the Syrians and the Iranians and the Russians are going to retaliate against U.S. forces either somewhere. And even possibly an attack on U.S. soil, which will force Trump and the his administration into showing that they are strong.
All right, Billy. So I'm going to have to mute Chance one more time. No big deal. So, Village, let's move on to this next topic here. Here it is. Let's talk about the for as far as what the Trump. Let's go ahead and finish with this one. Let's finish with this because we still haven't hit Flynn, but you know that's another that could be another show. We still can cover that. Not a big deal. You know what? Instead of me talking about Republicans going nuclear, let's talk about this real quick. Why does everything have to be done at Mar-a-Lago, Village? That's the question that I want to ask. Why does everything have to be conducted at Mar-a-Lago? Now, the White House is there for a reason. It's to serve as the home of the president for him to conduct business and do all these great things for our country. Why is Mar-a-Lago such a place where everything has to be done? And here's why. Our president, 45, has spent roughly, the last estimate I saw was roughly $15 million in traveling back and forth between the White House and Mar-a-Lago, right? He's done, that's the last estimate I saw. It was around $15.6 million, somewhere give or take. And that's not even 100% accurate, so don't quote me on that. However, comma, I'm sure we're up in those numbers at this point, right? We have the White House. This is where you're supposed to do business. Melania Trump apparently is going to be coming to the White House once this semester is over. Hopefully that's 100% accurate. I'm praying it is, because it costs a lot of money to protect, it costs a lot of money to protect her outside of the White House. That's a lot of extra money to protect her in New York and protect their child Barron. And rightfully so. I mean, she's, you know, to me, in a sense, being a responsible mother, she's not going to yank her child in the middle of a semester. I understand that and I respect that, right? So that's why I try not to harp on that too much, you know, and I would encourage others to do the same thing. Don't harp on it too much. Her child is in the middle of school. It doesn't make any sense to yank this child in the middle of the school year. Let him finish his school year with his friends. And then next year he attends a great school in DC. Keep it pushing, right? But like I said earlier, Mar-a-Lago has literally become the new White House. I'm not sure what all security measures are done as far as devices being planted in walls and things of that nature to make sure he's not being listened to. However, comma, you know, it's a lot of money for our president to be protected. And I read an interesting story or article about what the Secret Service does and what they're asking for. I believe the Secret Service asked for an extra, I believe, like $60 million. I don't know the exact numbers. Please don't quote me. Right? But they're asking for more money just to protect the president. Well, they were told no. And so since they were told no, there are other things that are going to have to be scaled back. The Secret Service also deals with some missing person, child abandonment, child abduction, stuff like that, people abduction, stuff like that. So all the other things that the Secret Service does is literally going to be put by the wayside. They're literally going to have to say, we can't do this. We have to spend and focus our budget on protecting the first family. That's a lot. You have the Trump children with Secret Service agents. Of course, you have the president and his detail. The first lady has her own detail, which includes protection for Barron. Again, not my issue. Not going to harp on that, right? But there's a lot of money being spent at Mar-a-Lago. You know, the people of this area in Mar-a-Lago, I'm not sure what part of Florida it is, but they're literally like, man, we need more money. Because it's not all on the Secret Service. Coast Guard is involved. Local police is involved. Secret Service. These are all entities that are involved in protecting the president, right? These are all the entities that have to provide pay to their employees, obviously. They're not just going to send their employees out there for free. That's not how it works, right? No one's going to just protect somebody for free. I don't give a damn what you say. It's not how it works. There's got to be some kind of compensation, right? So, with that in mind, Mr. President, why is it so hard to just conduct business at the White House? You know, there was all this bashing about President Obama going to play golf and things of that nature, you know, and you want to drain the swamp and you want to, you know, make America great again. Making America great again, you're costing a lot of money in the process. Maybe there's some bigger grand picture that I don't know. But from the looks of things right now, it definitely does not look like it's going the direction that you that this country wants. Have you done some, made some good moves, in my opinion? Yes, you have. You've done some good things. I'm not going to sit here and say that everything is bad. However, comma, the fact that the Secret Service is asking for more money to protect you, your family, and we have to provide protection at Mar-a-Lago, you know, come to the White House, conduct business there. I get it. It's a stressful job. It is. You're the president. You're the top guy, the top person in the U.S. You make a lot of decisions for the U.S., right? However, comma, you can also save us a ton of money by just doing business at Mar-a-Lago. Oh, I'm sorry, at the White House. Forgive me, Village. At the White House. There's a, that you could save so much money. Your Secret Service is already there. They have to be there anyway, right? You don't have to provide for extra Secret Service agents when you're in Mar-a-Lago or anything like that. So, Mr. President, you know, you may never hear this, and that's fine, but I definitely encourage you to do business at the White House, and I'll leave it at that. All right, so Chance is still dealing with his youngin. We're going to move on to this next topic here. Let's see here. Mar-a-Lago did that. Let's see. Let's look at some of these other things here. Let's see. Let's see. Give me 1 second here, Village. I had, you know, I'm going to, you know what? Let me go ahead and just do this here. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it, but I'm going to do it. And so let's go ahead and get the screen share option, application, boom. All right. Lot of hoopla right now over this photo. Yeah. Now, this is, if you don't know, this is Charlize Theron. Actress, she's in the upcoming Fast and Furious movie, not sure of the name. She's upcoming in that movie. She's done some other great movies that I love. And she also has adopted a black son. That is a little boy, just in case anyone is wondering. And if you can read the headline, literally says her custody should be snatched. I hate her so much for this. Yes, hate. I don't give a damn what he said he wanted to wear. He doesn't buy his own clothes. I'm steaming. She bought her own personal little black boy to emasculate in front of our very eyes. F. Charlize Theron. Okay, minimize that back out. This is a touchy subject. This is touchy subject right here. We don't know what this young man is about. We don't know what him and his mother have discussed. We don't. Kids are coming out earlier and earlier. And it's a hard pill to swallow. Village, I know, but one thing you don't want is you don't want your child to feel ostracized. You don't want them to feel like you don't support them. He's a little boy. He has box braids and has on a dress. And, you know, as a black father, even this is a little hard for me to swallow. But once again, I love my children enough to say, okay. Because one thing I don't want them to do is them not feel supported and then them try to hurt themselves in the process. That's what I never, ever want from my kids. They have to know that they're loved 24/7. I don't give a damn. They can be transgender circus clowns. I don't care. I love my kids. It is what it is. But there is a huge, huge backlash as with this photo. This photo came out today is, what, the 8th or 9th? I'm not sure of the day. Forgive me, Village. But this photo is from April 2nd of this year. And so with that in mind, you know, we're looking at this young man with box braids and things like that. And Chance, you're back. So what I'm going to do is focus this picture for you one more time so you can take a quick peek at what we're discussing. That's Charlize Theron. She, you know, we know that she has adopted a black son. That is the young man. He's wearing box braids and a dress, and there it is. You know, that's Chance. You still there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. I'm about to mute you again.
Kobe, please.
No.
All right. Sorry about that, Village. Give me the thumbs up, Chance, if you can come back, okay? Just give me the thumbs up. If not, no big deal. I understand. So, Village, you know, at the end of the day, she's raising this young man, right? She's literally saying, I will take this child for whatever the case may be. How many of you out there are willing to adopt this child, right? We have so many people that are willing to run to China, to every other country, but their own, and adopt a child, right? She adopted this young man right here in this country, right? How many black parents are willing to say, yeah, I'll take this young man. Whatever the case may be, whatever he presents, I'll take, right? I don't think too many people are willing to do that. Me personally, I'm willing to do it. I've considered adoption because I don't have a daughter. And I do want a daughter. But, you know, that's between Lady J and I, you know, so trying to work that out. But this young man is literally saying, hey, he could be transgender in the making. We don't know. He could be homosexual. We don't know. He could. There was another article that came out, and Charlize Theron literally defended her son. She said his favorite character is Elsa. Why can't he just want to wear? He wore the dress from Frozen and a blonde wig, right? So she's not emasculating all little black boys. Her little black boy could possibly be transgender, could be homosexual. We don't know. And you as a parent, right? Me as a parent, when you look at your kid, your children, you know. You can tell if something's up. We all know. We all know. We all have that one kid in our family, or have that one parent, and you look at them and you look at the kids like, yeah, it's inevitable, right? Eventually, he's going to just come on out and tell me, right? And it's okay. One thing I'm never going to do is tell children to not be who they are, right? So when black people get up in arms and things of that nature, well, I encourage you to adopt a child. Go adopt a child. Because there are so many others that are willing to love our children and raise them and things of that nature, right? She wants to just love this kid. That's all this is. She's literally saying, I want to love this kid. And you're right, Dre. If he's happy, so be it. Let him be whatever he's supposed to be. You are damn right about that. Because regardless of whether she raised him or someone else raised him, this is going to come out one way or the other, right? the truth of the matter is this is coming out in a healthy way, right? This isn't coming out 20 years later and he's going through all kinds of body issues and shaming issues and things of that nature. He's growing into the human being that he wants to become. Now, you can say this is a phase, or you can just say maybe he really is just doing this for now. I don't know. I don't know this young man. I don't even know his name, right? But it's all on my news feed. It's all, you know, this, that, and the other. I say you just let this young man be who he is. And as long as his mama supports him and his mama says, baby, I love you, it's okay, then so be it. So be it. And we'll leave it at that. Like I said, Village, I'm going to let this one go at that. All right, so we're going to close that out. So what I want to do now, real quick, let's do some Village Idiots and call it a day. Definitely, let's just call it a day. Let me go ahead and pull up a few stories here. We'll go from there. All right, let's see here. This is a interesting article. A little bit weird for me that you would need all this stuff. Okay, here we go. All right. Here we go. First story here. Got this off of Vice on the Vice website. You know, I like to subscribe to everything because podcasters, you got to be ready to go for everything, right? All right, here we go. Let's focus this story. Hackers can easily hijack this dildo camera and live stream the inside of your vagina or butt. First of all, why do you have this kind of technology? Here we go. Let's talk about this. The internet of ish gets up close and personal. If you're using an internet-connected vibrator equipped with a camera that allows you to stream your pleasure right to the internet, your intended viewers might not be the only ones watching. Hackers from the U.S.-based security firm Pen Test Partners have found that it's trivially easy to hack into a Shvacum Seam Eye, a $249 Internet of Things dildo that has a small camera on its tip, allowing users to stream a video to anyone of their choosing over the internet. However, if you're using Wi-Fi, if you're in Wi-Fi range of the dildo and can guess the password, which by default is all eights, as you can see, you can watch the video stream. With a bit more hacking, you can take control of the firmware and then connect it remotely as well. Yes. Yes, Village. We're hacking dildos now. Yes, laugh at me. Yes. We're hacking dildos. Dildos. This show, do not let your kids listen. This is not the show for them. We are literally, this can't be life. It's gotten to the point where dildos are being hacked. Okay? Lost sound. Oh, hold on here. Is the sound back, Dre? Is it back? Let me know. Or do you just see my mouth moving? All right. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to refresh the page. Let's refresh. Reload. And we're reloading the page. And we'll be back up here in a few seconds. Here it is. Boom, boom, boom. There. Now we should be back up, Dre. Should be good to go. Should be good to go. So let's move on to this next Village Idiot here. Next Village Idiot. Close that one out. All right, so we can take care of that. Let's use which one shall I use here? Yeah, don't have too many that I want to use. I think that was the here, let's use this one. All right, here, next story here, next village idiot. Only have out of Vice once again. I try to go to different places here, and that's pretty solid right there. So let's go ahead and focus back in. Chance is still gone. Dre, you still don't hear me? All right, so let's go ahead and do that. Here's the thing. I am recording into Audacity. So Audacity is still picking me up. So I'm going to keep recording. And you guys can, if you're not able to hear me on the Crowdcast, no sound still, huh? That's weird. Boom. Boom. All right. No sound still. And everything is, it's crazy because everything is tracking on my end just fine. Let me refresh this page one more time. Let's see if that fixes it. All right, Village. I'm going to try to refresh this one more time and go from there. And hopefully this no sound issue will go away. Yes. And Dre, if you can hear me, go ahead and say something. Yep. So anyways, let's go ahead and... I'm sorry, Dre. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you're not going to let me go record,
huh? No. And Chance is still over there trying to take care of his young man. Okay. So Dre, just stay with me for a quick second here. Okay. So anyways, Village, let's move on to this next Village idiot here. It's the beauty of podcasting, man. You get to interact with your people. You know, the people that support you. I love that. Absolutely love it. Application window. Oh, nope. Not going to be able to do that. And we're going to screen share. Boom, boom. All right. Village. Village. Here it is. Next Village idiot. Man uses laser to carve bust of Vin Diesel out of ham and cheese. That's right. He uses a laser to carve bust of Vin Diesel out of ham and cheese. Now, I don't know what the hell's going on. That looks weird to me. And the fact that he has a laser should also terrify you. Yes, but why? Like, I don't get it. I don't get this at all. You love you some Diesel, but... oh, that's just... Yeah, I don't like him that much. I don't like anyone that much to carve a ham sandwich out of them. With the laser. That's just not where I'm at with my life. That's not in my wheelhouse. It's just something I'm not going to be able to ever do. And if I did, I'm sure Lady J would probably have to call me out and get me help because she's ready. Yes. So yeah, that's my other Village idiot right there. So yeah, let's go ahead and we're going to close that out here. And Chance is still trying to fix his youngin'. And I love that little man. But anyways, here we're going to... Let's go ahead and close that out. And we're going to get rid of that. And I believe... Now, this next clip is not really in Village Idiot, right? And I don't want the people to say, oh, KJ, you're using this in the wrong segment. I just wanted to show this clip. And I want people to see this young man. If I can get the doggone clip to play, oh, it's the airport. It's not going to play. Okay. I've kind of figured that. Let's see here. You know what? As far as Village Idiots, you know, this could be it. Let's see. We'll see. What else do I have? Nope. Because I normally try to save all these village idiots here throughout the week. Whoever, when people send me stuff and things like that. So it is what it is. Yeah, so that's it as far as village idiots for the day. We had those two stories. If you guys would be so kind as when the video gets posted on Facebook and the Facebook page, would you guys please be so kind as to share it? You know, hop on there, share the video, let people show the world what's going on. With that in mind, you can follow Chance at Chance W. Brown. You can follow me at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. thank you to everyone that tuned in today and watched us live. I really appreciate it. And to those of you that are listening on Podomatic or you're listening to the Crowdcast replay on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, we thank you as well. More hits, the better. Go check us out on our YouTube channel, Welcome to the Village. This will be up in about an hour or so. Also, check out the Welcome to the Village Facebook page. Check out the Etsy page. We have t-shirts and we have wristbands available for purchase. Go ahead and hit us up. Let us know. We have new shirt designs that are going to be going up real soon. Working on that as well. Chance is also working on some big things politically, so you guys stand by for that, because as soon as it happens, I will let you guys know. Like, hell, we may even lose Chance on the Village, because this could be real big. But, you know, like anything, we'll just follow him and he'll jump in when he can and things like that. Other than that, Village, 619-202-1562. You guys know how to get a hold of us. If not, go to the mighty search engine Google and type in Welcome to the Village and we come up. All right. So with that in mind, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. You guys have a great day. Bye, everybody.